Blog Talk Radio.
Storybox Audio.
Good evening. It's Sunday, and this is the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. I'm the producer, Gwen Berry, and with me tonight are my co-hosts, Wayne Johnson and author Ronald Feynman, and sending the best out to our recovering host, Jeff Jodell in Minneapolis. I had a couple of things to say about the new year today. This is just me, and of course this is my side, and we're all three different voices here today. 2021 already promises to be a year of revelation and expose of the days under Trump, just as Mitch McConnell is slipping past any accusations, even by his non-action to the years with Trump. There's going to be, in my opinion, political hesitation from the Oval. There is that now, to a certain degree. And there is also the wonderful action of executive orders, which hopefully are going to bring us some relief. Republicans are taking no responsibility for their actions and pushing back, trying to hold on to the stopgaps that they can for power in the Senate and the Congress. The money they spend is for lining their own pockets, even as that is being sort of taken away. They really don't know what to do because they fear the loss of Trump voters, which they think are the majority of the Republican Party, and that's up for toss-up right now. The same thing is, I saw a thing on with Chuck Todd today about the percentages in the political parties and how many were pro-Trump, how many were pro-old Republican values. So 17% for each, and the rest are a handful. But in the Democratic Party, 60% are sort of like middle-line, walking the old road Democrats, but 70% relate as actual, let's call them Warren Sanders progressives, which there's a lot of that going on. That's very hopeful, very, very hopeful. It's just that it's fouled up. Ever in this moment of COVID-19 as a background, as the plague right now is metamorphosizing into a more dangerous and contagious virus that we're getting from the UK coming up in their discoveries right now. And they seem to come up with it first, but you know it's infiltrated to the states and into many states. People with decent intelligence and heart are going to seek meaning, not answers, this year, because I don't think that people genuinely trust leadership at all yet. We are of hope. Good people are hopeful right now, but trust is another thing altogether. The virus news from European is really quite fearful. Meanwhile, the continuing exposure we're going through to how much the Republican 4 years of rape, pillage, and burn the Constitution is just keep getting more exposed, and it's playing out. People who are thinking right now are going to choose, I think, the only sanity left. And to me, that's to become our own leaders. We have to lead ourselves through this. Then maybe when we realize our true ability, our true personal power in this world, which is for an American, the power of voting, just the vote, which we did spectacularly, I think, but we can do a whole lot better when you think how many people are in this country and how many people actually voted. We just got to get more of a group consensus going here. then maybe we can begin healing. But this is playing out in a backdrop of an ever-increasing dangerous plague. And it's very depressing to hear the back and forth in Congress and the Senate right now, whittling over whether or not, you know, we're going to be able to pass bills to get help to people. Although I will give this to the new president, who is signing a lot of executive orders at this point, trying to push this through. Kudos. But the talk of unification and all of that, while forgiveness is a huge thing, right now we're talking about the political vitality of our nation and the script that it's written on, which is the Constitution. And I think it's just, you can't hold back from that. You can't play namby-pamby. And it looks, once again, like Democrats doing that. So that's just my personal opinion. Gentlemen, I know you have your own, so please have at it.
Professor, I'm going to let you go first.
Okay, thank you, Wayne, and nice to be with you and Gwen again.
Always a pleasure.
Well, there's a lot of things to talk about. It's frustrating to think that these senators, eight of them, and 139 House members continue to pursue the goal of preventing the electoral vote from being what it was supposed to be, even after the invasion of the Capitol. And I honestly think they should all be expelled, but the problem is you need a two-thirds vote to expel anyone, and I don't see it happening. As it is, we will need a two-thirds vote to convict Donald Trump on the impeachment charge of insurrection, but there's only 50 Democrats. We would need 17 Republicans. We would certainly get a few, but I don't know if we're going to get more than six or seven at the most. So it's a frustrating situation where we're going to have, if you count all these 147 people, well, 139 in the House, that's about two-thirds of the House Republicans. There are about 200 of them. And you know, and eight senators out of 50, so that's like, what is that about? I guess that's about 15% or close to 20%. These remind me of the Civil War period, and it's just not acceptable that these people can go on staying in Congress, but I don't know how they're going to be removed. There's all kinds of pushes to try to force them out, but they're not going to resign, and I don't see the Republican Party, more than a handful, going in that direction. So it's very, very frustrating, but I think that some of these people are even worse than the others. I think Ted Cruz of Texas is an absolute nightmare. I point out to people that 5 years ago, when he was pursuing the presidency and all the different 17 Republicans were doing that, that I used to say to people, the two I most feared were Cruz first and then Trump second. That's what I thought at the time. And yet this man is on the way to trying to run again in 2024. I don't think he will get the nomination, but if it's a Trump-type party, who knows? And Josh Hawley, who's a freshman, he's only been there 2 years, I don't understand how the man thinks. But he replaced Claire McCaskill, who was a moderate Democrat, should have been able to win that seat again, and I think she's a sweet lady, but it's just very frustrating. And then we have these few people that are freshman House members. Madison Cawthorn, the youngest House member in a very long time, 25 years old, and he comes across really as incompetent, totally. I've seen him interviewed already, and he's clueless. And yet he was carrying, weapons, arms on him, when he had to go, when he came into the Capitol building, to vote, and was stopped. And this is the same thing with Lauren Boebert of Colorado, a freshman congresswoman who's also a QAnon person, and she's really off the wall. I mean, much more even than Madison Cawthorn. And then, of course, the one who's the most crazy, as far as arming herself and also just promoting the QAnon theory, is Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia. They're not the only ones. There's also Louie Gohmert of Texas, First District of Texas. He's been a wacko for years. I used to call him the male Michelle Bachman, who used to be in the House, the male Michelle Bachman. She's gone, but he's not, you know. And then Matt Gaetz of Florida, from Northern Florida, I think it's the Jacksonville area. He's really, I think, very, very dangerous. And then there's two people from Arizona, Mo Brooks and Andy Biggs, and then I forgot the name. Who's that Maryland congressman that you've been telling me about, Wayne?
Well, thank you for that introduction, Professor.
Yeah.
Yes. I had a very good friend. He was the Republican congressman from the 1st District of Maryland. His name was Wayne Gilchrist. Fantastic guy.
Yes.
Bronze Star, Marine, Vietnam vet, things like this, Navy Star. And then comes along Andy Harris, who was backed by...
Harris, yeah.
Right, Andy Harris, who was backed by the Purdue Chicken family.
Oh,
and basically, they backstabbed Wayne Gilchrist, because Wayne Gilchrist was in favor of environmental aspects. He was the deciding vote that left, that countered the Republican party that he was with to say, bring our troops home from Iraq. And he paid dearly for that. Andy Harris is nothing more than a corporate stooge shill. He was one who also decided to contest the Electoral College votes, and
yes,
all, and he's now bringing in guns himself. Into
and he had a
Congress.
Confrontation, I understand, with the security people there.
Absolutely.
The news story the other day.
Right. Yes, right. I mean, he's a total shitbag, and I'm cleaning it up. That's what he is. He's a shitbag, and I'm cleaning that up.
Is that going to be bleeped?
I know that the Democratic Party here in Maryland is looking to really try to find a good candidate to go up against him, because Maryland in general is a progressive-leaning state, but it's mainly that Baltimore-Washington corridor, Washington, D.C., but you have the eastern shore of Maryland, the peninsula, which is where Harriet Tubman escaped from to start the Underground Railroad, Frederick Douglass, who escaped from, and, of course, the history that we know, Frederick Douglass.
Yeah, very historic area there. Wow.
Yeah. And, well, matter of fact, when we moved from the suburbs of Glen Burnie, here in Baltimore, Glen Burnie area, to the eastern shore of Maryland, the summer of 67, there was a race riot in Cambridge, Maryland, where Harriet Tubman was born and escaped from, because in 67, mind you now, the schools had only been integrated for about one, maybe some areas, 2 years.
Oh, thank you, David.
On that peninsula. And there were two black high school students who dared to kneel down and pray in the white-only lobby in the Cambridge city of Cambridge, the only movie theater, and they were arrested and given 6 years in jail for that heinous crime.
Gentlemen, we have a caller. We have a caller online. I believe I know who it is. Is that you, David?
No.
No, I'm
Gwendolyn.
Sorry.
Gwendolyn, I didn't want you to interrupt them. It's Sybil Brunson. The only reason I'm calling in is because I heard the words shitbag, which I thought was a call to arms. To me, that was an engraved invitation to a lovely dinner party. When I heard him say that, I said, Sybil, you are being invited to a delicious dinner party.
I'm sorry. Hey, and hello to you, Sybil.
I want to congratulate, first of all, Gwendolyn, you know I love you more than anything, but I want to congratulate the two gentlemen on being two of the only people in this country who are not curtsying and lifting their dainties and their petticoats and backing out of the room with a, may we please criticize a little bit the GOP and Tom Cornyn and Nazi McCarthy and
I didn't get to mention McCarthy by name or Jim Jordan, but they're disgraceful, yes. Yeah.
Jim Jordan. Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
Can't Jim Jordan and flimsy graham cracker, finally, the 8mm film of them being sexual, naked and sexually 69ing in a locker room somewhere in the Senate chamber. Where is the film on these two? It's ridiculous what's going on. But I just want to go back to you two. I'm so pleased that you are calling a spade on all of this stuff, because all I've been hearing all week, even on MSNBC, is this kind of like, well, let's listen to both sides. I love these interviews where Republicans will say, well, there's extremism on both sides, and the extremism on the left and the radical left and the Lenin Party on the left and the Joseph Stalin Glee Club on the left has instigated all of this rioting. It's like, I love the press secretary, Biden's new press secretary the other day.
Yeah, she's great.
She confronted one of the reporters and said, wait a minute. He kept saying, well, don't you think that proposing these liberal agendas and these things that are already like, you know, liberal pact and everything, isn't this? And she said, liberal, how left wing is a sensible minimum wage? That is left wing, a livable.
But the important political moment here is that this is all in the backdrop of something that keeps getting shoved to the background, which I give the new administration kudos for, which they are pushing on, which is COVID relief in its many flavors. And the other part about that is that I personally think until COVID becomes the screaming nightmare that it is ramping up to become, and I mean screaming nightmare, I mean the sight on television nightly, like the Vietnam War when Cronkite put those cameras down in the jungle and outraged the country. When we see bodies being dumped, okay, and you can call me blowing it all out of proportion. You can say I'm running as a horse out of the lane in this race, and perhaps I am. I hope I am. I don't think so. When this becomes the screaming nightmare that it is threatening to become at this moment, then people are going to see who wanted to get the COVID relief out, who wanted to get people health care and vaccination, and who wanted to take care of the public, and who was playing pocket pool with themselves.
I wish I could agree with you, Gwendolyn.
Hello?
Hello, I was saying, did we lose everybody?
Yeah, what happened? It was silent for a minute in there. Are you there, Gwen? Are we alone here, the two of us?
I don't know. I want to keep going.
Oh, it's just a long pause. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Maybe Gwen got knocked off with the internet. But to continue on with the story here is, like I said, Andy Harris has become part of that corporate stoogey bullshit mouthpiece for the Republican Party extremism. And Professor, I know you know this, and if we do still have listeners listening in, and go to my blog spot called Minds, MINDS, and Times, TIMES, of F. Wayne Johnson, and there's a posting in there called I Told You So, Jack Kemp. In summer of 2005, there was a conservative nut job who was going to challenge my friend Congressman Wayne Gilchrist, but he was basically had taken money from the garbage industry, $20,000 for his campaign, and tried to turn the town of Fettlesburg over to the whole waste management garbage industry. Needless to say, myself and my friends who had fought environmentalist battles before, we were a well-oiled team, and knocked that challenger out in a matter of week to 10 days. He was done. He was toast. And as
gentlemen,
little,
can you hear me? I'm sorry to jump in, but can you hear me now?
Yes, you
were
awesome.
And I was hoping we were still on the radio.
I have to tell you that while I was going off on the radio there, I got cut off.
Wow.
I had to call in. I can still work my computer board, but I had to call in. I'm sorry.
So did I. Now, was
back.
It my language that got us censored or something?
Did I trigger it somehow? No,
because I have us rated as, watch for profanity kind of thing. I always do with the show.
So
that people are aware that.
All right.
Know,
well, I didn't want to be responsible.
We're going to drop the F-bomb. But anyway, to continue on, what I was saying with my hour-long one-on-one is kind of an homage and a reward to those of us who wiped out that conservatives' challenge to Congressman Wayne Gilchrist. Was basically, I had a one-on-one. It was a bull roast fundraiser, and I had the ear of former vice president candidate Jack Kemp. And I was warning him back then in 2005 of my concerns about welcoming in the tea baggers, the Tea Party, who are really the John Birch Society, the Klansmen, the religious fundamentalists who don't believe in science and stuff. But welcoming them into the Republican Party, giving them validity, a voice of authentication through the Republican Party. And Jack Kemp's knees were exact words were, well, yeah, there are good demographics to whip up, you know, at election time, you know, when you need to whip up the nut jobs to get the votes. That's how I felt about it. And I warned him. I said, well, the Republican Party taking in all this element, this demographics, you're going to be sorry, because at some point in time, that extremism, that reactionary aspect is going to become, the inmates are going to take over the asylum. And there's where we're seeing it now with the Trumpsters.
The problem is that if Trump is not prevented from running again, you know, then he could very well be a factor in 2024. That terrifies me.
Right. Well, if he starts his own party called the Patriot Party, which, Professor, you know where I'm going with this. It's Sybil.
Wayne.
That's
always already bought and paid for. He can't do Patriot Party because there already is one.
Oh, I did not know that. Darn it.
Really?
Maybe say he joins that Patriot Party that's already in existence. He gets the name. It's all in a title. So now it'll be the Trump and his peepees, the political Patriot Party. And, you know, I kind of hope he does. I really do. Because just as his Ross Perot split the vote of the Republican aspects that lost W. Bush's second term and allowed Bill Clinton to win, this is what Trump would do to that Republican Party. I welcome it, because Trump by himself would not have enough votes to win again, much less the Congress and the Senate, because the PPs, you know, aren't organized enough to make a significant challenge to the established Republican Party. And that's where he's going to be drawing the votes.
I think the Lincoln Project is doing quite a job on that
The Lincoln Project is doing so good, but I kind of accept them, but at an arm's length. Because at any given point in time, because they are all Republicans,
yes,
they will turn on the Democratic Party.
Oh, well, of course.
Maybe.
The major factor
I wonder, though.
Happened for now. They were good in this election, but it's true. They're not future supporters of the Democrats. You're right.
Yeah.
I wonder, though. I'm still waiting for Steve Schmidt to finally just come out and say, listen, I can't be associated with that party anymore. And Katie Turr, the MSNBC columnist who worked for George Bush, Nicole Wallace. When is she going to finally just say, listen, I've reported against the Republican Party for so long. It stinks so badly. I just can't be a member of that party anymore.
I
don't know.
She's registered independent. She made that clear.
Schmidt also is an independent now, if I'm correct.
Who is?
Who?
Schmidt.
Yeah,
oh, Steve Schmidt is? Okay. I just want to say one thing about what wonderful Gwendolyn was saying. Gwendolyn was predicting, you know, that people are going to see and the death toll is going to get high enough, blah, 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 blah. And Gwendolyn is 99% right all of the time. I love her. She is definitely our Earth Mother. However, if the statistics that come out on Meet the Press and MSNBC everywhere, even Fox comes out with these. Even Fox is dragged kicking and screaming into numbers. And the latest number is that the death toll of COVID cases in the United States is now higher. Forget the Civil War and all that. Mm-hmm. It's higher than World War II.
Well, World War II is lower. World War II is about 400,000, and the Civil War is about 630 or 640,000. So it hasn't
passed. Right. I'm sorry, I had that wrong. But the other statistic was that a few weeks ago, the COVID cases were higher than the Mexican-American War and the Spanish Civil War and the Korean War. They came up with a whole bunch of them and added together. Then it punched through 400 and it became higher than World War II. And I promise you, and I know that you agree, that in a matter of 15 minutes or so, it's going to be more than the Civil War. Not that any American cares or even remembers the Civil War.
Pass the Civil
War.
Yep. And if one
but
point,
the bottom line is
it was together 1.2 million. It's going to happen, I think, by the end of the year.
I do too. Okay, I do too. But what I was going to say was, I agree with you. Two things will happen when that happens. First of all, the Republicans will blame Joe Biden. This is Joe Biden. This is the Democrats' mismanagement. That's why the death toll got up to 1.2 million. Blah.
Sure.
The second thing will be is that it still won't affect the people in Buttpoke, Arkansas, right? Whose senator? When I get on there,
Tom Cotton, he's
the one who was saying that the Democrats were proposing 17 left wing extremist executive actions. And this is what he said. Well, they came to Washington saying they wanted to cooperate. And here's Joe Biden proposing, you know, extremist left wing things. This is a situation where even the death toll higher than all Americans lost in all wars will not convince those toothless hillbillies that the Republican Party has no interest in them getting shot.
But they are
or
the
getting,
majority.
But,
we are not
but the
majority. Though.
I know, but I'm not talking about just toothless hillbillies. I'm talking about Gwendolyn. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the whole gang of them. It's from Wall Street down. Whoever they are determined not to wear masks, not to get injected. They are determined not to have relief from the government. They're determined not to get those $2,000 checks because that is not.
But
what republicanism
moment.
Is.
Do you know why the corporations backed away from the Republicans after the insurrection? I think that not only was it that demonstration of fear about, you know, their free market, but I also think that it was very much about their knowledge in the backdrop and government knowledge at certain levels in the backdrop of the projected outcome if this virus were to ramp up as it's doing now and what's going to start happening. And I think governments across the board are aware of this fact. And when I say that do you remember what Walter Cronkite did when he got a gaffe of what was going on the ground in Vietnam? And he put those cameras directly on it. Do you remember what the majority of this country started to say about the Vietnam War? It changed everything.
It changed everything.
And when bodies are being dumped because of COVID, because there's nothing else they can do, and the furnaces are blasting up, and it's a nightmare scape that I'm projecting, but I'm telling you that my gut tells me that this is what can be on the burner this year. Against the backdrop of this bullshit push me, pull me between politicians in Washington right now. And who will people remember? The messaging is from the Democrats and from the White House right now. Get these people vaccinated. Get these people help for their rent. Get these people with food on the table. Get these schools safe for children.
You're so right, except that they still are spinning it that this is some sort of left-wing communist conspiracy. Joe Biden and Harris
are
communists. It's like, when Tom Cotton gets on the air and is still hefting his weight around,
if you listen to the back push from CNN interviewers, I mean, I've been watching the CNN interviewers, those journalists, the ones, the media pushers on CNN, the ones on Chris Wallace over at Fox.
It's not enough, though, Gwendolyn. Fox is – Roger Ailes must be absolutely rolling with laughter in his grave. His nightmare network continues to drag its feet on the truth about this stuff. That Fox network, you can find a few people wiggling a little bit because it's too embarrassing now. But Fox network continues to spin this as Harris
but
and Biden are the problem.
I don't think that the majority of people are going to remember that message, see that message, when all cameras.
I hope you're right. I pray to God you're right.
Including to, well, that's the only junction, because without that, folks, we're all going to fucking be rubble behind COVID, because this is forced evolution, the science and myth. It's forced evolution. There are people.
Unfortunately, COVID isn't killing the right people, though. It's like,
right,
if only it were selective. You know, if only it were operating, unlike a virus, it was operating like a serial killer, a really brilliant, like Hannibal Lecter, like someone really, oh, if only COVID needed to be imprisoned behind a Lucite wall and have Clarice visit him once a while. You know, I mean, it's just a mindless thing that, like all viruses, it simply goes out and mows things down because it is not killing the right people. It is not.
Unfortunately, the wealthy are getting wealthier. Some of them die, but mostly it's the poor and the underprivileged that are the victims.
Who believe still that Tom Cotton and Adolf Hitler are their dream come true people. These are people that are their best friends. Adolf Hitler was the friend. Tom Cotton, it's shocking. Shocking.
Well, you're talking about primarily white people here. And white supremacy
yes.
is what we have been fighting for the last 4 years, what we've been put up against is white
yes.
supremacy. You are not talking about people of color, and there are plenty of them in this country, and they are fast overtaking and have come very close to, you know, being a majority over white. So I think that what you have to remember here is the messaging that is going on. In the meantime, the dance goes on in D.C. of politics, push me, pull me. And the bully pulpit is being very, you know, I got to give this press secretary, Jen, what's her last name? The ginger they put in front of that microphone. She's a magician. She is good. And she's
very good. Yes.
She has retention capability, which we haven't seen in years. And she is putting the facts before people. And people pay attention to those press conferences. They really do. So, you know, I see what you're saying, Mommy. I know what you're saying, and there is always going to be that faction. We will be in 50-22, and there will be, you know, butt-poke Arkansas crowd. I guarantee it, because polarity is how humanity learns and grows. But, gee, I mean, I keep thinking instinctually of how Cronkite put those cameras on the ground for Vietnam War after all the years of it and everything. And it got exposed on the nightly news over and over again. And people just, they balked it hugely in this country. And if you think anything is going to keep the media at this point from getting their cameras pointed at the horrors of what COVID is doing, you don't know the, you know, if it bleeds, it leads crowd at all.
No, I agree with you completely. I hope that, you know, I just wish that it would get more and more and more clear to certain groups of people that a $2,000 check from that Congress, that one percenter millionaire Congress, the Democrats are not the enemy of the struggling working class. And I am just appalled that this continues to be portrayed as that somehow Harris, Biden, and their side, that Chuck Schumer are the enemy of working people, of struggling people, of people who are trying to find the rent and the groceries. I can't imagine it. But it, to me, it's just Germany in 1928 again, 1933.
Well, that message started all the way back with Ronald Reagan.
It sure did. And that was what I was going to say. This 4 years, this last 4 years, those seeds were planted by Liz Cheney's father and earlier. For Liz Cheney to suddenly become, you know, oh, well, Donald Trump, honey, your father is Satan incarnate. And his boss was a moron. And by the way, his father was a moron. And by the way, his boss was a moron. This white supremacy stuff has been a stinking seed in the garden of this country since 1984. It has been all the way back there, planted.
Yeah, you know, when Reagan busted the unions, that was the starting of the slow spiraling vortex and down the toilet.
So true. And that trickle-down theory of things, that was the sound of the rich urinating on the middle class.
Exactly.
Trickle-down economics
was the rich pissing on the poor. That ain't rain. And the thing is like, you know, the problem is government, you know. Get government out of business.
Doc.
So first thing they did was deregulated the savings and loan. And what did we have to do? What did the working class people, the taxpayers, they had to bail out the abuses of those with the savings and loan controls because there
was
no
longer
checks and balances, no more regulations, and they just totally destroyed the industry.
Ron,
wasn't that the Keating Five?
Yeah.
Ron,
yes, Keating
wasn't
Five,
that
right,
at,
that's correct.
Ron,
wasn't
that actually Milt Friedman's economics there?
I'm sorry, say that again? I didn't get that.
Milt Friedman, wasn't that his school of economics there?
Oh, Milton Friedman, yes. Milton Friedman, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is a big favorite among conservatives, and I think, you know, he's a big name, but I think it's a disgrace.
Yes,
viewpoint.
A little bit more. Then, you know, they Newt Gingrich and the contract with America Republicans. Clinton had his indiscretion, so he was going to sign whatever Newt Gingrich shoved in his front of his face. But they removed the Glass-Steagall Act that FDR put in for the checks and balances of the banking industry and Wall Street. Then by the time that the Republicans took over with W. Bush and Cheney, and that first 2 years with all Republican control, then they removed all the checks and balances on the banking industry because the banks could not compete with the third world countries who didn't have those nasty government laws preventing this. Meanwhile, there had been no banking crisis since FDR. Who in the hell is that?
What is that?
Hello?
That's me calling Mummy back in. She got knocked off.
Yeah, I got knocked off.
Okay.
But I don't want to interrupt the show. Keep going, because you guys are doing so well.
Anyway, as I was saying, it was during the W. Bush and Dick Cheney and the Republicans who had taken over after the election against Gore that they removed the rest of any kinds of checks and balances against the banking industry, merging in with Wall Street and all that aspect. Before the last year of the Trump-Cheney, the whole banking industry, the whole economy had been lending out money that they knew people couldn't pay back. It crashed the banking, crashed the global economy. And then, you know, when Obama got elected and the stock market, because of that, that was the cause. And the final effects 2 years later, the stock market had dropped down to like 6,000 under Obama. Who did they blame? Oh, is that black guy now? It's president. He's he destroyed this economy.
Yeah.
And that's what Biden's going to have to deal with here because there's 3 million people. Professor and I were talking about this earlier. There's 3 million people out of work. There's a lot of the whole demographics of commercial real estate. Businesses are going out, restaurants, what kind of little shopping boutiques, things like that.
By the day.
By the day, right. And malls, there was one or two guys who owned like 150 malls. They claimed bankruptcy because nobody could pay the rent in their stores, in their malls, and so forth. He couldn't make the payments on his loans. It's that domino effect. And within the next couple of years, you're going to see a big, huge crash in the banking industry because of all these people who are out of work, lost their jobs, their businesses are closed, and the real estate, commercial, and even the home and auto loans that the banks have put out, people can't make these payments. But who's going
but
to
they'll blame they'll blame Joe Biden for that. That's and for
right,
the Democrats.
Exactly.
In fact,
the
problem with
Harris
because
because
we have a mixed race vice president who's a woman.
Right.
This
right,
is why I said a month ago, over a month ago, I said to you guys that I wished that Donald Trump would win because it was very important for me to have Donald Trump and all of them, Mitch McConnell, all of them in office when it all comes down, because that might have finally triggered the right riot there, where they were dragged out of the building and they were torn to pieces in the street, which is what they deserve. They deserve the same treatment that the French gave to the aristocracy in 1789, and the same thing that they did to the Romanovs in a filthy basement against the wall. That's what they deserve. But the problem is they've slipped away. They've slipped away one more fucking time. They brought all of this around, and now we're going to have Kamala Harris blamed, because in 2 years, you know, she may be the president if Joe Biden wears out, you know, and it'll be blamed on a woman, a black woman, and a Southeast Asian woman, you know, a Californian. If she's pretty, she brought it about because she was pretty. It's like they'll come up with anything that they can come up with. And this is the terrible thing, is that this country, these American people, will not understand that the $1 trillion giveaway to the rich 2 years ago was the beginning of the end. And those rich people, unlike the French in 1789, you see, they can wire their money out of the country from their bathtub. They can sit in their bathtub, their bubble bath, their marble bath, with their little laptop and press a button, and all of their money can disappear to Switzerland or the Caymans or whatever. The French, they couldn't escape. They couldn't get away.
I painted a different backdrop than even the bank crash from the real estate market. And what happened was Obama going into office, and everybody knows that Obama saved the economy and then handed it back to the Wall Streeters. I mean, that was his compromise. But
a compromise he couldn't afford not to do. Gwendolyn, it was the whole too big to fail thing. He was screwed. And he was screwed by bitch McConnell, who's still in office and is now again beginning to screw Joe Biden. I'm just going to say one other thing, because this is a very vivid memory for me. We all talk about, well, you know where you were when Kennedy was killed, and you know where you were when 9/11. I will never forget that I was emceeing a huge benefit for inner city kids, with George, my husband, and we were in Greenwich, Connecticut, at the Greenwich Fon Country Club, blah, 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 whatever it was, okay? And we had been invited there by people who had been on American Idol. So the hosts of it were people who had been stars on American Idol, and they had taken on this charity as one of their favorite things. And it was a charity to get inner city kids to summer programs or whatever in the summer. Anyway, to make a long story short, we were booked there, and we were booked the Saturday after this. It was like $500 a plate or $1,000 a plate. It was a banquet. It was entertainment. Reuben Studdard was going to sing. All these different people were going to perform. And I was the MC. I was the MC for this thing. And I do this stuff all the time. So I was the MC. And it was the Saturday after the crash, right? And the whole thing, that 2008 crash, boom, everything fell down, and it was right after that, and people were reeling, and the attendance, the ticket sales it was sold out, but the attendance was a third of what it should be. That there were tables everywhere with linen and silver and goblets and waiters in tuxes and everything. The food was breathtaking. The most tons of food went to waste because the rich were so shocked. The Wall Street crowd, which was this crowd, this Greenwich, Connecticut crowd, was so shocked at that crash albeit they were all getting golden parachutes. You know, their secretaries were on the street with cardboard boxes and, you know, photographs of their kids. But
sure,
they were
sure.
all going to get golden parachutes for their mischief, their fucking mischief. You know, these boards of directors that had spent $58,000 on a conference table made out of black granite the week before the crash, and they had made these idiot decisions in the corporate world and were not being held responsible. But they did feel guilty about going to this banquet and this thing for children, because I don't know where they were going. Maybe they're hopping on private jets or crying into their satin sheets, you know, their thousand thread counts, thousand sheets. But it was hysterical. And I had to open. I was introduced. They said, and now from, you know, New York City, ladies and gentlemen, it's Civil Brunch. And I stood up and I went up to the microphone and I looked around and I had to play it. And I said, I guess there's been a measles outbreak or something. What happened? Did I miss something in the news? And there was laughter and, you know, people thought it was great fun. But I mean, it was shocking to see that crash.
The point is, the backdrop, the painting, the backdrop of all of that was not the backdrop that we have now. Right now, what we have is something that's a whole lot different. We're counting global mortality at this point. And I mean, that will make a much larger difference. And the messaging at this point, who is saying, let's heal it, and who is saying, wait a minute, now we don't want to spend it, as everything that has been done, it is dribbling out in the last couple of weeks. Ron, you've been watching this. How much corruption and Trump putting people in place to screw the election for him that's coming out.
Yes.
And everything else. This is a completely different backdrop. And the horror of it is that people are going to be facing all of the choices they make by the backdrop of a global mortality rate that is rising by the moment.
Yes, and I'll tell you, as far as the insurrection, the fact that one out of five of the people arrested were either military or law enforcement is really concerning.
Yes, white supremacists.
Whether they're retired or they're actually in the force. And I just read about someone, a woman who works at as a Capitol Police officer, and it turns out her mother-in-law was at this invasion. And the son, who doesn't talk to his mother, you know, wrote about the fact that my mother was there while my wife was doing her job. Can you believe this? These people are crazy. But this woman was an evangelical Christian, very religious, and he doesn't talk to her, and she's off the wall. These people are nuts.
Apropos of that, I just want to say that after Chuck Todd today, we had a local program in Philadelphia here. I'm in the main line, and so I'm on the main line. Thurston Howell III, you know, Shades of the Hamptons and everything. The local program is a news program that was on NBC, and they pointed out in our tri-state area here that New Jersey has 15 hate groups, Delaware has 3, and Pennsylvania has 36 FBI alerted. The FBI is frantic about 36 hate groups in Pennsylvania that we are surrounded here. And it was only the riots on January 6th that brought down the huge banners, the Trump Pence banners and signs on people's front yards. January 6th, 2 months after Election Day, people still had their banners up. And I think the only reason those came down was because they were afraid, these people, these suburbanites, were afraid that someone would eventually at least throw rocks through their front windows, if not firebombs. It was like, so you're finally going to take banners. I'm not talking about the little wire signs, big banners.
I'm talking about flags and all.
Flags waving and banners. They only came down on January 6th, and I'm sure that it's not because they felt guilty that maybe Donald Trump had overstepped his bounds. It was because they were, you know, terrified that someone would do something. But I am surrounded by gun-toting, red flag wearing, yahooing people who the only way, apropos of Gwendolyn, that they are going to understand this is when they finally get COVID inside their own front door. And even then, they're going to blame Kamala Harris and Biden. Yeah. They're going to figure out a way to spin it, because they are flat worlders. That's what Thomas Jefferson and the founding fathers guaranteed them with the Constitution. I have a right to be stupid because my country, that my flag says I can be stupid. I can say the world is flat and I'm allowed to. And that's where they come from. And I don't care. And yes, Gwendolyn, you're right. Corporate America finally is looking at itself going, oh, my God, I don't know that I want to be associated with that kind of person. Well, I don't know. The almighty dollar certainly kept you in bed long enough. I mean, mm-hmm. politics makes strange bedfellows. Well, your $1 trillion life, you know, in 12 homes around the world, that kept you in bed with Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell was wavering. Well, I think the president did the wrong thing, but he's right back again. He immediately turned on Biden this week. This man is going to understand only a pitchfork through the belly and being hoisted into a bonfire. That's the only thing that's ever going to change his mind. His Fu Manchu daughter, wife, has, you know, she's got to go too.
We have Pete Buttigieg in that position, Department of Transportation.
Yeah.
Like I said, Jack Kemp, a moment
he's
of candor.
Youngest member of the cabinet.
That was the Democrat, the demographics that they could easily whip up, whipping up the nut jobs, quote unquote, at election time. Well, the inmates have taken over the asylum. And my final statement in that article I posted it on my blog was, see, Jack Kemp, I told you so.
Can I just ask all three of you something? And I want to know your opinion on this. If a black president had exhorted crowds of people to go to the Capitol, break it in, and murder a policeman, first of all, every time a black person has been killed by a policeman, we get to see their parents, their mother, their husband, their father, the children, the press conference, the lawsuits that are coming, all of it. We see that. Why have we not seen the same thing for the policeman who was murdered by these yahoos? Where mm-hmm. is the indignation? Where are the people that did it? Why haven't they found them? Where aren't they arrested? And more importantly, why don't we find out that he was a father with a wife and a child and mm-hmm. you know, and parents? Where's the human interest in the fact that these people, Donald Trump's people, murdered a policeman? There's no indignation on that part, but it's the Law and Order Party, isn't it? Let me finish. Yeah. It's the Law and Order Party. If it had been a black person, a black president who had done this, and a black person had exhorted, and a black crowd, first of all, 1,000 people would be dead on the Capitol steps. The steps would have run with blood the way an Aztec temple did. Secondly, the president would not only be arrested and tried, he would be dead. He would be dead. I want to know where the indignation is on the Law and Order Party on the right-hand side about all of this insurrection. And I'm telling you right now, my prediction is that you're going to be shocked at the number of people that get away with this from the ground up. Senators will not be held responsible. And I believe that people who are on video, having people taking an American flag and jabbing at a cop and spearing them with a cop, will get away with it. They'll get away with it because they'll blame the president, and the president will get away with it because he'll say, well, I didn't think that they were going to do that. He's a thug. He was always a thug. He was John Gotti, but in worse suits. John Gotti, at least, was handsome. He's a thug, and he's going to get away with it. And I predict that all of those people that did that, where's the person who killed the policeman? Where are the people that were captured on film crushing the policeman? Yeah. The cop that was being crushed. There are people there. Where are they?
The only thing I'll say about Trump is I do believe he will end up in prison for financial crimes, not for the insurrection.
like Al Capone. Yeah, he killed 500 people, but he was in because he didn't pay his taxes properly.
That's why I think it's pretty certain. But unfortunately, he should be not allowed to run again, and he should be in prison for the insurrection. But it's not going to happen, unfortunately.
But, Sybil, to answer your question,
yes,
threw the fire extinguisher to hit the cop in the head.
Yeah.
The cop to the hospital. He died in the hospital. He was from Pennsylvania, but he was hiding out in Laurel, Delaware, kind of just a little bit inland from Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And basically he called because they knew they were hot on his trail, and he called him and turned himself in there. They caught the man who threw the fire extinguisher. He and his son were both there, and they arrested him.
Oh, really?
Now, let's see what kind of trial, because Laurel, Delaware was, I had a farm on the Eastern Shore, and it was listed, 15 miles from where my farm was. Right, US 13 heading right down through the middle of Delaware. That's where he was. And they've arrested him and stuff, but let's see what happens at the trial. That's my question.
Well, I certainly haven't seen it. I haven't seen it portrayed on the news over and over again that he is this.
No, it's not going to be national news. This was like local podunk, newspaper and...
Moo Cow Man has gotten much more footage. That idiot who needs organic food. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
I call him the Moo Cow Man. It's
that character. That's really infuriating. I'd say don't feed him, period.
Right.
Absolutely. Or better yet, do what they did to the suffragettes. You put a hose down his mouth, you tie him to a bench, and you force stuff down his mouth. That's what you really do. Because if they were going to do it to the suffragettes who were protesting that they wanted the vote for women, why not force feed Moo Cow Man? Your mother says you need organic food. Here's some fresh cow turd for you, pal. It's pre-digested.
I did not hear that.
Here's the cow shit. Bon appetit, Bonnet.
Exactly.
We are at the wind down of the show, and I want to especially give Ron, can you give folks a tagline here? Let them know where they can find you and where they can read your weekly articles.
Okay, I'm always on daily on the progressiveprofessor.com, and I write not every day, but at least once or twice a month, most of the time on historynewsnetwork.org under Ronald L. Fineman. And of course, I'm on Facebook and on Twitter. I'm on as Politist, Polithist. And I'm on Facebook with my name and the Progressive Professor and my book, Assassination, three different sites, Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency.
And for me, the Minds, MINDS, and Times, TIMES, of F. Wayne Johnson. And in there you'll see a subtitle called I Told You So, Jack Kemp. Read that.
Okay. Okay. And Mummy, can you give us your...
And Mummy is going to be on this very line 25 hours from now. Not 24, boys and girls. 25, and I invite you two gentlemen to come to my show. You call in and monopolize my show the way I do yours. If I can come in and kibitz on your checker game, you come in and kibitz on mine. No, seriously, I'm going to be on tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central, and I have listeners all around the world, just like you guys do, and I want you two to call in, and you can derail my thing from recipes and flower arranging to politics, because that's where we need to be. That's where we need to be. We'll start out with a brownie recipe, but with it, the minute you call in, Wayne, you guys, you call in, and we'll just talk. We'll continue this. You know what, Gwendolyn, you'll have a part one and a part two. Sunday show, we'll have part one. Monday night with Come Now, Don't Sulk, will be part two, and we'll continue the conversation over a piece of whiskey.
Okay, so what's the name of your show?
How dare you?
I don't know. It's just masked.
Come now, don't sulk with Sybil Brunson.
Yeah, the show is called Come Now, Don't Sulk.
Share it on our Facebook pages and things like that. Post it. That way some of our listeners and those who claim that we have respectability can go in on your show too.
Good. Okay. And we're going to start saying, I used to come from the Chrysler building, the revolving ballroom of the Chrysler building, the Cafe Berlin. But now that I've moved to Pennsylvania, now I'm going to do Thurston Owl, the third voice, and say, darlings, we're coming from the main line now. So our credentials are very impeccable. So, Gwendolyn, you'll help me out tomorrow posting this and reminding these two boys that they need to call into our show, okay?
Well, that's just certainly wizard, Bobby.
What was that? I missed it.
That was my Thurston Howell impersonation. Well, that was just totally wizard lovey.
That was great. It was very good.
Okay,
I looked it up. I see it now. I looked up your title. Yes, okay. I didn't know about it. I might not be able to do it this week, but you on every Monday at 8?
Yes.
Yes.
Monday at 8.
Very good.
Okay, I'm not sure necessarily tomorrow at that hour. I might be busy, but I certainly will.
Okay, gentlemen.
Thank you.
We are at 20 seconds out. I want to thank each one of you for being here tonight. Thank you, Ron, for holding the ground for us with Jack being gone. Jack, get well. I know you're listening in. And that's been our Sunday show for the second show of the year. And tomorrow night, 8 p.m., come now. Don't salt. Join us.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.